a non-ordinary man. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and remind yourself that you're ready to hear something weird. In other words, I'm willing to have an open mind right now. Welcome, little one, to planet Earth. There's nothing you cannot do, be, or have. You are a magnificent creator, and you are here by your powerful and deliberate desire to be here. You have specifically applied the wondrous law of deliberate creation, and by your ability to deliberately create, you are here. Go forth and attract life experience to help you decide what you want. And once you have decided what you want, give thought only to what you want. Most of your time will be spent collecting data that will help you decide what you want. But your real work is to decide what you want and to focus on it. For it is focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. It is through focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. It is through focusing on what you want and not on what you don't want that you will attract it. That is the process of creating. All right. I'm going to be working in chapter 5. It's called Healing and Wholeness. And I'm going to do the section called The Invitation to the Holy Spirit. Do the section called The Invitation to the Holy Spirit. Now let me share something with you. When the Course in Miracles talks about the Holy Spirit, it's talking about the part of us that's still linked to Source, the part of us that still knows what the truth is, the part of us that hasn't got caught up in the world, the part of us that remembers our spiritual identity. The Course in Miracles calls the Holy Spirit our sane mind, the part of us that's still in touch with love. So when it says Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about traditional religious perceptions, but the Course in Miracles is trying to give us another interpretation of religious perceptions like Holy Spirit. Okay, so this section is about how you invite God in. How you invite that power into your experience. Is that a worthwhile goal?
Yes.
Okay, now, I'm going to read the first paragraph, and then I'm going to go back, and then I'm going to do it again. I want you to watch how your mind zones. I want you to pay particular attention how we're just about to be told how we can get in touch with the power that will manifest all our desires easily. And I want to, we're going to do an experiment. I want to see how much of what I say you hear. Okay? Healing is a thought by which two minds perceive their oneness and become glad. This gladness calls to every part of the sonship to rejoice with them and lets God go out through into them and through them. Only the healed mind can experience revelation with lasting effect, because revelation is an experience of pure joy. If you do not choose to be wholly joyous, your mind cannot have what your mind doesn't choose to be. Remember that spirit knows no difference between having and being. The higher mind, that's the Holy Spirit, thinks according to the laws spirit obeys and therefore honors only the laws of God. To spirit, getting is meaningless and giving is all. Having everything, spirit holds everything by giving everything and thus creates as the Father created. While this kind of thinking is totally alien to having things, even to the lower mind, the ego, the human mind, it is quite comprehensible in connection with ideas. If you share physical possession, you do divide its ownership. If you share an idea, however, you do not lessen it. All of the idea is still yours, although all of the idea has been given away. Further, if the one to whom you give the idea accepts the idea as his, he reinforces the idea in your mind and thus increases the idea. If you can accept the concept that the world is one of ideas, the whole belief in the false association the ego makes between giving and losing is gone. How did you do? Did you go? Did you take a trip? Did you leave? Good. All right, here we go. Everybody says they want healing. So the Course in Miracles says that a healing is nothing but a thought where you and I perceive that we're the same and are glad about it. I'll say it again. If you want to heal in any situation, it's where two minds see that they're one and they're glad about it. I see that I'm connected to you guys and gals and beings, and I'm glad about it. Every time I feel connected to you all and I feel glad about it, guess what? I experience a healing. Okay? And then the Course in Miracles defines a healing as the undoing of fear. Okay, I'm just giving you 25 years of having obsessed with this and saving you some time. This idea of healing is not what we traditionally think of as healing. So you got to realize, if you're going to study the Course in Miracles, it's so important to get that the Course in Miracles has its own definitions for all the terms in it. And so when you read the Course from your own past learning, it won't make sense to you because it doesn't mean what you mean when you say the word. And that's why people go crazy with the book. They want to put their meaning on the word. Like, for instance, every time I'm glad that you and I are one, which of course calls the same, equal. Every time I'm glad we're equal, I heal. I undo some of my fear. When I see that I love you and you love me, then I'm glad about that, and that undoes my fear, and healing is the undoing of fear. And the Course says that fear takes many forms and appearances, which are the physical conditions that we have in the world that we are fearful about. They come from the fear thought. The fear thought comes from, I don't like you, and I'm upset. Got it? Two minds perceive their oneness and are glad about it, a healing. Two minds who perceive their oneness and hate it, to keep the fear. Okay, so we just heard in one sentence where healing comes from. Yeah.
This question, what about if there's a situation involving like an agency or an organization, and I want to erase the fear when I'm dealing with them?
You have to. You would do the same thing. You would be willing to perceive that you're one with them, mm-hmm. and be glad about it. You know, because it's not, let go, if you can, let go of the idea that another person has to be aware of the truth in order for you to practice it and also receive the benefits of it. Okay? Let go of that.
It doesn't have to be an individual. It can be anything.
It can be anything because what's affecting you is your perception of it. So it really could be anything. Right. So if I look at our oneness and I become glad about it, then I heal. That undoes my fear. Okay, so the Course is so cool. Okay, so I perceive my oneness with you all, then I become glad about it, then I have a healing. And then what's the next sentence says? It says, this gladness, what kind of gladness? What the gladness? Because I see that I'm one with you and I'm healed. Okay, he says, this gladness calls to every part of the sonship to rejoice with him. So the sonship, the Course says, is simply the one creation, which is us. So every time I see myself as one with you and I'm glad about it, then that calls to everyone else to be happy with me. Now, so I want the kind of mind that my mind is telling everybody, be happy with Earl. See, that to me, that if thought is creative, I want some thoughts that really kick butt. And so a thought that would be something like, oh, everybody's happy with Earl. Because Earl is happy because he's one with everybody, so everybody's happy with Earl. Got it? So that's how you make the Course practical. Because it's all mental. It's all perception. Then it says, what does that mean? Well, if all of us are happy together and we are glad about it, then that's going to let God, which is love, go out through us and and into us. Okay, I want God to come into me. I want God to come through me. I want love to come into me. I want love to come through me. I want freedom to come into me. I want freedom to come through me. See what I'm saying? You with me on that? Okay, that's what God is. How do I get that to happen? This is what I do. I see that my mind is one with yours. I become glad about it. The gladness that I feel calls to everybody to be happy with me. So as soon as everybody is happy with me, because I'm happy because I'm one, then that's when the love and God can come into me, and that's when God can come through me. God comes through me when I'm glad. See, I love this book. That's so beautiful. Love comes through me when I'm glad. I'm going to be glad when I see me and you are one, and I'm happy about it. If I'm happy about it, it's going to call to everybody else of a like mind to rejoice with me. So I'm going to be surrounded by people that are just like me, and because we are glad, now the master can walk into the situation and go through the situation. See, that's three sentences. And this book is unfreaking believable. And then it says, only the healed mind can experience revelation with lasting effect. And then I go, okay. He says, the reason why you can only experience revelation if you have a healed mind is because when you have a healed mind and you have a revelation, what you are experiencing is pure joy. Now, let's go back. I see that healing is when I see that I'm one with you. Make it practical. I see myself as one with you all, and then I become happy about that. When I become happy about that, that's going to call to everybody else in Denver to rejoice with me. And since I'm doing that, then the Course says that lets God go into me and go through me. The minute that I feel happy, I'm in the state of mind where I can experience a revelation. Because a revelation is an experience of pure joy. So I've set myself up to have a revelation when I set myself up to be joyous and happy. So every time you let yourself do something that allows you to experience happiness, you're setting yourself up for a revelation. And a revelation is meaning you're about to have an experience of pure joy. And so that's what I want. I've been always focusing on what I thought was going to bring me the pure joy. Now in my spiritual progress, I'm at the point that I want the experience of pure joy. So whatever the experience pure joy will give me, it's going to be great. I don't have to figure out what that's going to be. That's going to be something. How could you be purely joyous in an unhappy experience? You couldn't. So if you're really joyous, you're already surrounded by an experience that's conducive to your happiness. Or you wouldn't even be happy. Okay, any questions about that much of that paragraph before I do some more of it? Okay, who got the formula? Who can say basically in their own words what I just said about what healing is?
When I realize that I'm one with others, then I allow everyone to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I open that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I set myself up for a revelation of pure joy.
See, just to even say something like that's a trip. Just to hear, just to sit in the room with somebody. Have you ever sat in the room your whole life and somebody said something like that? Really? Healing is a state where I see myself as one with you, and I become glad about it. And my gladness is going to call for everybody I know to rejoice with me, and that's going to let God go into me and through me. Since I got God in me and God going through me, then I'm setting myself up for a revelation. I'm setting myself up for an experience of pure joy.
And the joy is the experience of the joy. It's not this little box that's going to show up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the experience of the joy that sets you up to receive the revelation. But then it tells us that the joy is going to come from the two of us recognizing we're one and becoming glad about it. See, it's no way that me and Michael can hang out with each other, see each other as one, see each other in total peace and trust and harmony, and not feel glad about that. When we're glad about that, that's a healing for us, because that's undoing the fear between me and Michael. So you see, it's totally practical. And so me and Michael are happy, right? So then we're going to attract more people who want to be happy with us. And because we're so happy and we're so cooled out with each other, we also set ourselves up for a revelation. Which, how could we not have an experience of pure joy when we see we're one with each other and we're happy about it? And we go somewhere, we're going to have a good time no matter where we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to turn around and draw that experience out of the people around us. This is so cool. I'm going to go through this whole chapter 5. I don't care how long it takes or how many classes I go through to do it, because this is the chapter that deals exclusively with what is the Holy Spirit. What is the voice for God? How do you get in touch with Source? How do you make Source work? How does Source think in comparison to how we think? So we won't even expect me to be saying nothing that our worldly ego mind already believes. So that to take away all the stress. Because we got to make a decision. We are not our ego. So I'm not my past learning. I know I have a lot of past learning, but I'm powerful enough in this moment to sit in this chair and take my past learning, sit it over to the side, listen to something else, and then decide whether or not I'm going to use it. But I'm not expecting Earl to try to convince my past learning that it's right. Because I can always go back to it, so it's not even an issue here. You can always think the way you thought before you came in this room. I guarantee you. And you are welcome to do it. Okay, I don't have the slightest desire to change your mind. I know that your mind can't change.
So Earl, when I'm glad to be with anyone, mm-hmm. the joy of God is with me.
And I'm ready to be with anyone, and I'm happy about it. See, that's a key thing. Perceive their oneness and become glad. See, that's the okay.
That's,
he says,
that's
a big thing.
Come on, look at it.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. The mind will immediately focus on the people that we know that we don't heal with. Okay, and what we're being asked to do is to recognize what the condition is that happiness will come into us and through us. That's all it's trying to tell us. That's it. Because I didn't even know that before I started doing this paragraph. I still don't know that healing is a thought by which two minds perceive their oneness and become glad. That's a new idea to me, and that this gladness will call to everybody else and ask them to join with me. And if I'm happy and I'm feeling that peace, then the peace and the love can obviously come through me and come into me. And so then my mind is healed because I am feeling good. And when I'm really feeling good, he says, that's the experience in which you could have a revelation. You could actually have a really joyous experience now. That's all it was about. It was just telling us what the conditions are for having an experience of joy. The ego mind says, let me show you everything that blocks the achievement of that goal. And then I want you to focus all your attention on that block. Instead of, and then the Course says, no, let me give you an invitation to the Holy Spirit. So now we know what the ego would tell us to do. It would tell us to focus on the block. What would the Holy Spirit tell us to do? Well, what you should do is hook up with somebody who you recognize your oneness with and become glad about that. The minute you become glad about that, you're setting up the condition that higher power can come into you and through you and create a revelation, which is an experience of joy for you. That's an answer. Because that answer does not involve you dealing with that person you don't like any more than you have to.
Thank you.
Okay? If you want to, you can. Sometimes you have to. But even if you're in a situation where you're having to deal with somebody that you're not glad you won with, that still does not prevent you from joining with people that you do feel one with and you're glad about it. Those are two different things. They're two different people. They have nothing to do with each other. Just because your life could be totally miserable in one area, but that absolutely does not stop you from creating areas of your life that you're not unhappy in. People act like that it does, because they think they got to go through their misery to their happiness. So they try to focus on everything they're miserable about and make it good, cool. So it's different. All right. I went off right then. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? This stuff is, I love this mind. Whatever man wrote this book, I don't give a damn whether it was somebody out of the body, in the body. I don't care what it was. This is some cool, loving stuff. I'd love to hang out with somebody with a man like this. I'd love to be around somebody who perceived their healing as being joyful because they're with me. And I haven't ever just let that come out of my mouth. Blah, 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 blah. You know, try to say some really loving stuff. You know, mouth will mess up. You're not even used to using those kind of muscles in your mouth. You know, you really, it's like trying to learn a new language. You have to use new lips. Okay? Then it says, oh, this next line is awesome. It says, if you do not choose to be wholly joyous, your mind cannot have what it doesn't choose to be. So, it means exactly what it's saying, that if you don't choose to be it, you can't have it. It means just that. Yeah, if you don't choose to be it, you can't have it. You have to be it to have it. If I want to have peace, I have to be peaceful. If I want to have freedom, I have to be free. If I want to have your support, I have to be supported. Whatever it is I say I want to have, I have to be it. So the ego mind does just the opposite. The ego mind is just a bunch of minds asking for something that they can't do or be. That's how you can tell the ego. They always keep you tangled up. That part of your mind, you know, it's like, I want the most loving person in the world. Are you the most loving person in the world? You know, I want the nicest friends out there. Are you the nicest friend out there? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I want love. Well, Earl, are you loving? He says, if I don't choose to be happy, I can't have it. If I don't choose to be wholly joyous, he says, I can't have it because my mind can't have what it doesn't choose to be. So, if I'm not totally in my peace, I'm choosing not to have my peace. I have to be it to have it. Okay, everybody got that sentence? Notice how this, it meant exactly what it said. That's the most weird part about this book. You're right. It says, your mind cannot have what it doesn't choose to be. What it does not choose to be, my mind cannot have.
Wow.
Okay, now, so it says, remember, and you're going to see that a million times when you read this book. It's going to say, remember or don't forget. I never in the book read where it said analyze. There's never been one time I've heard this book that it said analyze this. But it always says remember. But what is it that we tend to do with the truth the most? Analyze it and forget it. You know, if I remember the joke somebody said last night, you know, like the two biggest problems in the world is what? That people are apathetic. And they don't listen. And the guy answered, "Well, what'd you say?" And, well, it really doesn't make any difference. Those are the two biggest problems, you know. And so the court says, "Remember all through the book." All through the book, it always says, "I want you to remember this." And people think they have to analyze it. What is it? I need to remember that when I join minds with you and I'm happy about it, I'm going to have a healing. That healing is going to call other minds to join with me, and that's going to allow love to come into me and through me, which will create a state where I will be in a position to have a revelation, which is an experience of real joy. See, I need to remember that instead of trying to figure out how to deal with my son.
It's a lot simpler.
Right, that's the danger. Because the course says that our minds are based on the idea of complexity. So we tend to overlook simple solutions because we love complexity. You know, because complexity, he says, is nothing but taking the one and breaking it down in little bitty pieces. That's what analyzation does. It just breaks it down. But it breaks it down into so many different pieces that it doesn't mean anything. So when you analyze an idea, what you're doing is destroying the meaning of it. Let me give you an example. If you see me right now, y'all see me as Earl Perky sitting up here, right? A classic example. If I was chopped up into little bitty bits, would you recognize me? You wouldn't have the slightest idea who I was. So breaking something down just destroys the meaning of it. But if you remember what it says, then you can apply it in as many situations as possible and get the revelation, which is the experience of real joy. That's what I want. What I've got to change is my method. But I want to keep the old method and get a new result. Because I'm afraid to join with you. and whatever excuses I can come up with to keep from trusting you and being open to you and really letting you into my life, I'm going to do so that I can protect myself. So I have a vested interest in not trusting anyone in this room completely, so that I will not have to open up to anyone in this room completely, because you might hurt me. So I need to focus on what I don't trust about you in order to stay closed enough to feel safe. And that is one of the reasons why people love to focus on the negative, because it gives them an excuse for never trusting and opening up, which they are afraid to do. So their ego points them to the one person who's going to betray them so that they can feel justified in not opening up. Follow me? I'm ready to trust now. I'm going to trust women for the first time. Well, the part of me that's afraid of that is going to direct me toward a woman who I can't trust. Then she's going to betray me, and I'm going to say, you know what, see, I was right, you can't trust women. But if I had woke up and said, let me get up this morning and see if I can go out and meet a female who has the desire to also join with me and be glad about it, then we can have a really good time, let some love come into us and through us, and experience a real joy. So I want to look for a female that I can join with in the mind happily. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm going to talk about in the workshop. Whole nother approach. Whole nother approach to relationships. But that's the one I want. Because my ego is going to try to attract me to the one that's going to betray me. But that thought will move me toward one who would experience joy with me. Because I'm looking for what? Somebody who will perceive their oneness with me and be glad that they're one with me. He says, that will promote the mind's natural impulse to respond as one. So the plan is for you to want to join with everybody out of the joy that you are experiencing with them, so that you want to be with them, because nobody has to force you to be with somebody that you are really having a wonderful time with. And I'm like reading this book, and I'm like going, that makes so much sense, I will totally forget this. I was so glad to find out that I was capable of understanding something that made sense. And I realized I was a sane person, that I did have a sane mind. I just wasn't being given sane thoughts. But my mind can deal with sanity instantly. I just need to be given some. Like, this is sane to me. Is this sane to you? Am I the only one? Doesn't it sound sane? I don't worry about how to do it. But doesn't it sound sane? Wouldn't you rather be in a relationship with somebody that you were glad that you all were in each other's life and had harmony with? I think that anybody that would say no to that is a person that has a lot of opportunities in this world to experience that. I guarantee you, if you want to experience fear, you are in fear Disneyland. You know, if you're about fear, you've hit the jackpot. Those of us who now want love, we're the ones that's huddled in the corner saying, let me, you know, in groups of 10 going, how in the hell can I get out of this perception of reality? And, you know, it's like, all walks of life, all colors, all ages, you know, well, you know, but the one thing we got in common is that we want another way of looking at this. Right? Okay, so he says, remember, the spirit knows no difference between having and being. So spirit says, spirit is the same as what? You know, the truth in us, our real self. So you could say my real self, so I got to learn who my real self is. So the course has helped me learn who the course always teaches me what my real self really thinks like, because I had lost contact with it. So he says, well, remember, your real self knows that having and being are the same thing. He says, now your higher mind, which you keep on saying you want to reach, he says, well, that mind thinks according to the law spirit obeys, not the law that the body obeys or the ego obeys. And he says, what does that mean? It means simply this. Your higher mind is only going to honor the laws of God, the laws of truth. My higher mind only honors the laws of love. Period. Okay? So it says, so how does a higher mind work? Well, to the spirit, getting is meaningless. And to the spirit, giving is all. to the ego, getting is all. And giving is meaningless. So to the person in the world that's full of fear, now see, I gotta make it practical. To the person in the world that's full of fear, the only thing that means anything to a fearful, insecure mind is getting. It's out to get. So a mind that's full of lack is a mind that's out to get. An insecure mind is a mind that's out to get. An angry mind is a mind that's out to get. And it thinks that if it gives, that's when the pain gonna come down. So the ego man believes that giving is meaningless. You give, and you just don't do no good at all. People still don't do you right. But I got to go out here, and I got to get me some money, and I got to get me a job, and I got to get some loving. You see, the ego is all about, when he walks into a room, the ego is all about, what can I get out of this encounter? And if I don't get anything out of it, then I'm going to walk out here and say, you know what? I went to that class and I didn't get anything out of it. But it's not like I'm going to come in this room with you and I'm going to give you all everything I have to give. And trying to get anything from you doesn't mean anything to me. Now, when you're around somebody that says that to you, that's the one that you give your phone number. Relationship workshop preview. You know what I'm saying? That's the one you give your phone number. See, because you're learning how to discern when you're talking to somebody who's coming from love versus somebody who's coming from get. And we have to know how to do that if we're going to have right relationships. Okay? Then it says, having everything, spirit holds everything by giving it, and thus creates as the Father created. So here another one of those sentences. Well, what the hell did he just say? Okay, I have everything. How do I want to keep it? Well, I give it. And so that's how I create, just like God did. Of course, says God is the part that has everything, but that part also wants to keep it. And so that part knows that to keep it, you got to give it. So that's the way we were created. We were created because our own creator wanted to keep everything. And we're part of it. That's why we know, that's how I know I'm in the hands of God. I'm created. Why don't I know that? Well, I can't think of a whole lot of people right now, but I'm seeing my mind is one with theirs, and I'm glad about it. What I'm focused on is all the people that I'm upset about. Oh, so since you're not in a state of joy, then you have not established a condition where God can function through you and in you. So therefore, you don't seem to see God. Because you're not choosing to be happy, and you don't realize that you got to choose it to be it in order to have it. Also, Earl, when you walk into a room, you come in there to get. You're not coming there to give. Oh, so you mean that might have something to do with why my life hasn't exactly been scoop-de-doo. I'm not obeying the laws of love. I didn't even know what they were. See, I'm just not hearing what they are. Isn't it cool that we're learning what the laws of love, we're really smart. We're learning what the laws of love are right here in this moment, right? With people who we would prefer to see ourselves as one with, and then go glad about it. Notice we didn't hear this in the room full of our enemies. See, that? Check that out. The truth didn't come to us in a room full of our enemies or the people we were upset with. The truth came to us in a room where we were with people who we were recognizing our oneness with and being glad about it, which sets up the condition that the truth could come into us and through us. So we just are having an experience right now of what the book is saying. That's how I know it's true. It's the one only book I read that I can always see what it's saying at the moment that I see it. I know it's messing with your mind. I know your mind go, you know, but it's cool. I'm glad it messed with my mind. I love this. Now tell me that the next sentence doesn't exactly anticipate what our ego is going to think. It says, while this kind of thinking is totally alien to having things. And like he says, even to the lower mind, which is the ego mind, to us, it is quite comprehensible in connection with ideas. So now the course, you know, is about to give us a classic, easy example of what it's talking about, so we know exactly what it's talking about. Okay. It sounds like to my ego, if I gave everything I had away, I wouldn't have it. That if I gave you my furniture, now I don't have any furniture to sleep on. If I gave you my car...
You gave
me yourself up. I'm just saying, you got a purse that big. It's like it was bottomless or something. It was amazing. No, I was like into being entertained. It was, I mean, you were like going down. It was like one of the magic tricks when you put a rabbit out the hat. It was like a car, a refrigerator, my stove. Everything was flying out that purse.
That was great.
Your phone was jamming. You know what I'm saying? It was like entertainment while you were going through. It was like an act for a second. The music was, the music was going and you were like throwing stuff at your purse. I love my revelations. Okay, we just had an experience of the truth, didn't we? We perceived our oneness, became glad about it. We all joined each other in it. And then we just had an experience of pure joy. See, we just had it. This is not abstract speculation. You know, it's like, this is happening, folks. The course is real. And it's blowing my mind because I'm seeing it in my everyday life, you know, and it's like I'm just tripping right now. And my everyday life is so magical and so loving that it's tripping me out. You know, it's like, you know, whew. And the only way I can take it in is to be it more myself. That's the only way I found out I can handle it. I just had to, okay, Earl, you have to be this more so you can receive this more.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, then it says, if you share a physical possession, you do divide its ownership. So you're right. If you do share something physical, you don't have all of it still. Okay, he agrees with us. But he says, if you share an idea, however, you do not lessen an idea. All of the ideas are still yours, although all of the ideas have been given away. So the one thing that you can have completely, like that's like giving, like the Course is asking us, this is so deep, the Course is asking us to give ideas. We think the Course is asking us to give our house away. That we ask, it's asking us to give something physical away. It's
not that.
Right. No, it's already said. Well, no, if I tell you to give your car away, you sure won't have it. You're right. If you do give up a physical possession, you do divide its ownership. You're absolutely right. But that's not true when it comes to ideas. Then he goes on to explain it. Says, if you share an idea, however, you don't lessen the idea, all of the idea is still yours, although all of the idea has been given away. Further, if the one to whom you give it accepts the idea, that reinforces it in your own mind and thus increases it. So, here's two grand examples of that really quick. I want to go to the movie. Do you want to go to the movie? Yeah, I want to go to the movie too. Okay, I had the idea, I gave you the idea, you accepted the idea, and now we both have the idea. Sarah, I gave you the idea, but I still have all of the idea myself, right? So I just increased that idea. Now that idea is bigger. So you can give an idea away and still not lose any of it. But if you give a physical possession away, I guarantee you won't still have all of it. So we're clear about that? Mm-hmm. You only give physical possessions away if you don't want to have them. Well, y'all promise me that, because that's what's going to happen if you give a physical. But the idea behind giving the physical possession away, you'll still have that idea, and that idea has now been accepted by the other person who received it from you. So now you both have the idea of what? That you have. Because I had to have it before I could give it to you. You received it from me, which reinforced the idea that I had it. So every time I give something, I increase it in my own mind. I increase the idea of it. With me on that?
Yeah.
And where does every single solitary thing come from? Ideas. Everything you look at in this room is an idea. You cannot name one single thing in this room that's not an idea. including you. God then would be what came up with the idea of you. So you know there's a God. That's deep. That's really, really awesome. I want to say this one more time. I'm going to ask you a question. I want to say this one more time because I want us to get the formula. Okay, here's the other example. You all came to the class today. We're listening to the course, right? I'm giving you all my ideas from the course, but guess what? I'm not lessening my ideas. I still have the ideas that I'm giving you right now. Is that true? So all of these ideas that I'm sharing with you, they're still mine, even though I'm giving all of them away. I'm giving you all of the ideas that I have, but notice that the ideas are still mine. Further, if you accept the idea that I've given to you as your idea, now you accept it like, wow, that's right. Well, this is now you're reinforcing the idea in my mind, and so you're increasing the idea in my mind by accepting it. And that's how you increase any thought that you want to see manifested in your life. We just heard the formula. It's any idea. That can be the idea of my joy, my idea of joining, my idea of success, my idea of abundance, my idea. The book just told us exactly what to do in order to manifest. Share my ideas. Now, what is the idea that I need to be stronger than anything? It's the idea of God. It's the idea of love. It's the idea that I have guidance. It's the idea that I have support. It's the idea that I'm not alone. It's the idea that there's something greater than my own ego. So when we come together, what we are doing is strengthening the ideas of God, safety, love, and freedom. And that's why our group is so important when we come together. It's not a therapy group. It's not to solve your personal problems about what you think you're going through in the world. The purpose of this is for us to get together to increase ideas that we want to see manifested in our lives. That's why we come together. That's the solution. But you know what our get mind is going to say, right? It's going to first do what? It's going to try to take our attention off of the remembering of the ideas and the application of the ideas to the analyzation of the ideas by trying to get you to focus on someone you can't do the idea with. You follow me? It's just going to be the first thing it's going to switch you to. What about but? I like my favorite. Yes, but. You know, and I've been teaching 25 years, and I've heard a lot of very firm and seen a lot of very firm yes buts. Mm-hmm. Yes, but. And you know everything that the person said before the buts have been erased. Mm-hmm. I love you, but. I really feel peace with you, but. See, it should be, I really feel peace with you, and I'd like to share blah, 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 blah. See, then that didn't negate what I said before. Interesting. So what was your question before we go?
Well, it was a thought on this, because mm-hmm. I read this last week, I think, or something. And the thought I had was, and it's something that has come up several times in different teachings, and it's so funny how people don't want to get their ideas away, whether it's an idea about a new product or whatever it is, mm-hmm. because they want to have such ownership on it. And I had this thought, I always tell people, I have all these wild ideas. They'll go, well, why don't you do something about that? Why are you telling me? I said, because I don't own it. It's only a thought. It's an idea. And, you know, maybe you'll talk to somebody who'll do it. I only care that it gets out there.
Cool. So and you still have the idea.
I still have the idea.
Yeah.
And run with it. Go for
yeah,
it. Well,
yeah.
Why don't you want the money? I said, no, I want the thing, or I want the product, or I want the idea to get out in the world. I don't care how it gets there. Just maybe you'll take it away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly because you notice that they're concerned about the physical possession.
Yeah.
They're concerned about the money. And so they don't realize that what you're doing is getting in touch with the power that creates money.
Or the authorship. They want the authorship.
Yeah, but again, that's what we're saying. We're learning the difference between how the fear mind works and how the love mind works, because until you know the difference between the fear mind, because the fear mind and the love mind can both come up to you in a body. So if you just judge by the body, you won't be able to tell who you're with. you just love the fear and you also love the love. They're going to become, you know what I'm saying? It's what I'm learning now is what I want to pay strict attention to is whether it's a loving man coming up in this body that I like, or whether it's a fearful man coming up in this body that I like. Is this a truthful man coming up in this body that I like, or is it a man that deceives coming up in this body that I like? What the Course is doing is teaching us how to tell the difference between the two. That if I'm in a loving man, if a loving man is walking up to me, then a loving man knows that giving is everything and getting is not what it's all about. If a loving man comes up to me, it's going to want to communicate its ideas to me because it's going to want those ideas to be reinforced. So I know that that man is going to be telling me the most incredibly wonderful healing things because that man would want those things for itself enough to share it because they know that's how they have it. So you become surrounded by people who believe their very substance come from freely sharing with you. What a cool reality. For me to think that my peace comes from doing everything I can to also support yours, that's the kind of man I want walking up in whatever body my ego prefers. The only thing the ego lower man does is it just comes up with the forms and appearances, the physical things that you are going to either let love come through or fear come through. You with me on that? The only thing our ego human mind does is come up with physical stuff that it would like to experience. But it's our real self that we want to come through those experiences. And that's what we do in classes like this. That's why it's not important about focusing on manifesting a car. I want to get in touch with whether or not I'm going to let peace come through the ownership of that car, or I'm going to let fear come through the ownership of that car. That's what's important. The physical form is nothing to manifest. Because once you have love coming through your mind, you know you deserve everything. And so you start sharing the ideas that you know you want to become stronger, so that they'll start manifesting. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with a person and every time you tried to say something loving to them, they blocked it? To the point that you just got frustrated and just stopped trying to say anything positive or loving to them? That's a person that's refusing to heal themselves. Always remember that.
Give them your phone number.
Yeah, right. That is so powerful, but that is so true. Because there was a time that you would have probably not only given them their phone number, you would have given them your phone number because you would have wanted to caretake them, fix them, help them become to see the love that you see in them. Those are people that you remember who they are for them, while they have forgotten, but you don't take them home. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you why. You may think that's a kind thing to do, right? But the truth is, they get to the point through their fear and insecurity that they attack someone who's really, 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 really loving because they don't think they deserve it. But they can receive more of your love at a distance. And so it would be great to go out to a movie with every now and then. They'd be great to go out to dinner with. But you would not have a special love relationship with them. So it's not saying you wouldn't hook up with people and enjoy all people. It's just that as you learn how to tell the difference between a healed man and an unhealed man, you will know how intimate to get with anyone. You'll know how physical to get. So that you can keep the gladness that allows you to have the revelation and the experience of pure joy. Thanks for listening to this with me today. I appreciate y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Giving appreciation, being appreciative so you can have appreciation. I accepted your appreciation, so I increased the idea of appreciation in your mind and in mine so we can have it faster. Thank you. Thank you for healing with me. Everybody who acknowledged me. That's deep to know that that's what happened in that simple moment.
Exactly. Woo!
No, I heard while y'all sitting around here, y'all gonna hear some outrageous stuff. So I'm feeling more and more safe to be myself. Thank you for giving money. Really, thank you for giving money. Thank you.
But I'm dividing my possessions.
The idea is the reality. The idea is the reality.
What is your truth?
The idea is what you are increasing by giving. Yeah. And that's what manifested. As a matter of fact, that's the last thing I'm going to complete on today. I love that sentence. He says, if you can accept the concept that the world is one of ideas, the whole belief in the false association the ego makes between giving and... See, we think we give and we lose. He says, but if we were to understand that everything in the physical world, everything in the world is an idea. So if you want to be prosperous, what he's saying to me is that from this moment forward, I should look at everything in the world as not physical, but I should look at everything in the world as an idea. And that if I would see everything in the world as an idea, which is just an interpretation, just a perception, then I would experience the increase of it without losing it and therefore reinforcing it in my own mind. So when you gave money, if you looked at that like you were giving the idea of money, then you knew that you were creating a situation where you would have money, because it's an idea.
We're giving you abundance.
And even more than that, brother, you're giving yourself abundance.
Yeah.
That's the who you're giving abundance to. As long as you think you're giving it to Earl, you're not going to give. That's just a fact. People who share with me are the people who see me as beneficial to them, or see, they feel joined with me, and they also know that to give it is to have it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no sure sign of a lag mind in someone who says, I'm going to give after I get it. Right. As soon as I get it, you can give me the idea. And I can give you the idea anytime. There is no excuse for not giving an idea. Because an idea doesn't cost anything. Just like you were saying. We could give each other the idea of abundance no matter what our physical financial circumstance is right now. But if we walk out of here today and from this moment forward we went, my car is an idea. My clothes are ideas. Let's see which idea I'm going to wear today in the closet. And see, that's different. Because that dress is an idea I had that manifested. And I'm going to give away this idea by wearing it. Because by wearing this dress, I'm sharing this dress. And so the idea of me having dresses has increased. I say, because it makes too much sense. I know, it makes too much sense. So,
wear some diamonds.
Yeah. And, yeah.
What did you say
to
a woman? Can you take your ideas off?
Say what now? Say that woman, you can't take.
Say to a woman, can you take your ideas off? Is that appropriate?
Well, if it's the right woman. I've never asked anything of the right woman that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Ever. And no woman that was the right woman never asked me for anything that didn't happen that brought her the experience of joy either. It only happens with the wrong women. That's the only place that dissatisfaction happens. And then the wrong women are an idea in my mind. And so that's what I meant by sharing with the idea that I could be happy joining with, so we could have experience of joy and attract some joy to us. And I know who those women are now, or men, because now I know more who I am. And the more I know who I am, the easier it is for me to evaluate who would be best for me to join with and become glad. But when I didn't know who I was, I just kept taking chances hoping this would be the one. Now somebody can talk to me in 2 or 3 minutes, and I know how far to go. I could just watch them, and I know how far to go. And I love that. I've saved myself so much pain, it's unbelievable. Really. Whew. So Thursday night. See y'all tomorrow night at 7:00 if you want to come. And Sunday 1:00.